DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. That means our regular Friday features will begin with Vic's Picks. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, You Big Dummy, and then Fly Jams Friday. Luscious Hushes will play some funky stuff. 312-981-7200 if you want to make a request as well. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. Blackhawks Express from last night's game. And much more. We're going to play some classic stand-up from The Tonight Show, The Johnny Carson Show, which you can see on Antenna TV every night. Classic Robert Klein, one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time from 1989. Right now, though, we want to welcome to the show our good friend. It's Herb Weisbaum. He is the Consumer Man. You can check out consumerman.com. And Herb, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Tell everybody about Herb Weisbaum.
Well, I've been consumer reporting for about 40 years right now. I work for a local radio station here in Seattle and also write a weekly column for NBCNews.com. And as you know, Nick, my goal in life is to just try to make people smarter, because if you know what you're doing, you can be a much smarter consumer, avoid the ripoffs and scams, save a lot of time and money. I have a website, consumerman.com, where I post all my NBC stories, and you can check them out there. And if you go there, you can consumerman.com. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter, where I send you a newsletter every week of here's what's going on in the consumer world, so you know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you join us once a month, and it's always great.
Good. Excellent.
Yes. And it's Herb, you're out of Seattle, and we were just in the news. We were mentioning that the coronavirus is hitting Seattle pretty hard. What's the latest on that before we jump into the actual stories?
Yeah, we've had 11 deaths here now, we're unfortunately leading the nation in the coronavirus. Vice President Mike Pence was out here this evening, along with the CDC and a whole lot of other top executives from the federal government, trying to reassure the state and let them know what's going on. They literally referred to us as the tip of the spear in the coronavirus outbreak. Mm. A lot of what they said was specific to the Seattle area and Washington State, but a lot of it was generalized and news for the nation. And I just thought I'd share with you, because I watched the whole news conference for you, just to share some of the things that they had to say.
Yeah.
First of all, the director of the CDC, when asked the bottom line, basically said this: overall, the risk to the American public is small. That is the conclusion of the CDC at this point in time.
Right.
They're also telling us that as more testing comes online and more testing kits are being made available, we should expect to see more cases being identified. They said people need to not freak out about that. From a health perspective, they said they consider that a success and not a failure, that it means they're doing their job and they're catching the cases, and that lets them know how the virus is spreading, how they can properly treat it, how they can deal with it, who needs to be quarantined, et cetera, what kind of action needs to be taken.
Yeah.
I don't know how much news has gotten out there as much as we have, but we're reporting in our state, and it's been reported for several days now, that there is some belief that this virus was actually floating around in Washington State, in my part of the state, for as long as 6 weeks before anybody started getting sick.
Wow.
That there are a great number of people who are symptom-free. And I guess that's sort of the scary part. You could have the coronavirus, you could be passing it along to other people and be absolutely symptom-free. So that's one of the things that it's kind of scary, because with most things, when you have the flu, you know you have the flu, you feel the chills, you feel the fever, you know how to stay home. You could be walking around with the coronavirus, they say, especially somebody who's young and strong and not really know you have the virus. So that's an interesting thing. By the way, when the news conference was done, Governor Inslee, our governor, and Mike Pence were right next to each other on the stage, and rather than shake hands and thank each other, they sort of gave each other elbow bumps, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
which was appropriate. The one other really interesting thing that came out of the news conference, and this was shared by the vice president and also the White House advisor who is handling the coronavirus. I don't know her name, but she is very, very impressive and really sticks to the facts and lets people know what's going on. And she said that the pharmaceutical industry, and we know that the president met with them the other day, the pharmaceutical industry is actually working on treatments to bridge the gap. So some kind of antiviral kind of treatments that we don't have right now that could help bridge the gap until this vaccine is available in 18 months to 2 years, something like that. So the key and what they're trying to push is, and I guess some of them, from what she said, are actually just about to start the testing phase, possibly here in the Seattle area, is some kind of, there are antivirals that sometimes they can give you if they catch the flu early enough, within like 36 hours, they can give you antivirals that reduce the severity of the flu. It sounds like what they're working on is something similar to that, a treatment they could give people who start to come down with symptoms or are diagnosed as having this that would help them get through the symptoms, make it a less severe illness until we get to the point where we have some kind of vaccine to prevent people from getting it. So I thought that was a very noteworthy and newsworthy thing that you shared at the news conference today. That's basically where we are now. I can tell you the community here is, people are on edge. The big corporations are telling people, the high-tech companies, please don't come to work. Try to telecommute as much as you can. I had a speech at Amazon this week downtown, and they basically said, sorry, we can't have group meetings anymore. We'll call you back and let you know when you want to reschedule this thing, but we just can't take the risk.
Yeah.
Schools are closing. Some are closing because people are tested with coronavirus. Some are closing because they just want to proactively deep clean the schools for a couple of days.
Right.
One school is basically closed for 14 days and basically told the kids, you're going to start learning from home. We're not going to have you come in for 14 days. And then, of course, there's all the economic impact. There was a big run on the stores over the weekend. The stores were cleaned out of toilet paper, water, masks, and Purell and other kind of hand sanitizers. So that was kind of a little unnerving to see the panic in people doing that. Things have sort of settled down now. But it's a very nerve-wracking situation. People are changing their behavior. Some aren't going to eat. Some are out to eat. Some aren't going to the movies. Some won't ride public transit. Some are canceling their trips. It's top of mind, and a lot of people are trying to figure out with the best information they have how to deal with it.
Yeah, well, the best of luck to everybody in Seattle. We're thinking about you guys for sure. It's a scary thing, but I think it's important for people not to panic. That, you know what I mean? That's right. One of the most important things.
Absolutely.
Okay, Herb. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is our consumer man. If you have any consumer questions or you want to ask about some scams or any of that kind of stuff, consumer related, he is Herb, the consumer man, Weisbaum. And he joins us once a month, and we'll jump into these consumer stories and take your calls and questions at 312-981-7200. The Nick DiGilio Show continues. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and the Nick DiGilio Show continues. And if you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200. Talk or text. Herb, the consumer man, Weisbaum, is with us. Consumer reporter, he helps us out when we talk about the consumer news and answer any and all of your questions. If you're concerned about some consumer stuff or getting scammed and you need some help or advice or questions answered, Herb is here. 312-981-7200. And Herb, we were just talking about how Seattle is being impacted by the coronavirus. You also have a story. There's a story here about, I'll tell you, these criminals will take care of any, will take advantage of any situation, no matter how scary it is. And they're taking advantage of the coronavirus.
Yeah, criminals stay up on the news because they use that to make their scams seem more realistic. And what we warned people about was that they're actually exploiting this fear that people have about the coronavirus with phishing scams. So basically what they're doing is they're sending out email that is made to look like it's from a reputable health organization. The two I've seen so far are from the CDC, apparently from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and also from the WHO, the World Health Organization. And they're counting on the fact that you're so interested or afraid of what's going on that you'll be willing to click on the link. And if what happens is if you do click on the link, and the one that we saw, you will actually go to a bogus website controlled by the criminals that is made to look like either a real website, WHO, with a panel in it that asks you to put in your password and your username for your email, or a realistic looking Outlook sign-on page that asks you for your sign-in credentials as well. Of course, if you stop and think about it, there's no reason why when you're about to go on a website, you have to put your login credentials in your into a website.
Yeah.
But this is what they're trying to do. They're using this to try to scam people. I have them sitting in front of me. They have the logos. You know, they cut and paste the logos from the World Health Organization and the CDC. And, you know, it looks all the world realistic. Very, very simple message that just basically says, go through the attached document on safety measures regarding the spreading of the coronavirus. Click the button to download. And has the World Health Organization on it. There's also one where this is bizarre, but they're actually asking you to make a donation to help fund the efforts to deal with this. This one supposedly comes from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and they're asking you to be paid in Bitcoin. A couple of things I can share about that. First of all, the CDC is paid by U.S. tax dollars. It's a government organization. Right. They don't go around asking for donations, and they certainly don't get paid in Bitcoin. These two that have been going around, they're trying to either steal your login information for your email, which allows them to do all kinds of damage, or they're trying to get you to pay them money. And the one I have in front of me, and if you go to my website, consumerman.com, and click on the story, you get to see this website, but I put examples of these emails that are going around, and the one that I was given from the folks at Kaspersky Labs of the CDC, if you look at it initially, they open up their own domains, the bad guys, so it looks like it's a legitimate website that it's coming from. So in this case, Nick, I don't know if you saw it on the story, but it's coming from cdc-gov.org. cdc-gov.org. Well, the real URL, the real domain for the CDC, because it's a government agency, is not a ORG, it's a GOV. Mm. It's cdc.gov. That is their real domain name. But if you're not stopping to think, and you see the CDC thing up there, and it makes it look like it's coming from the CDC. So they're very clever at that. And I just learned tonight, I was actually talking to the folks at Sophos, the security firm, and they're telling me they are now seeing this expand as we knew it would, and we're seeing the first malware attacks. So basically what happens is there's a email going around now. It actually was going around in Italy because they have a lot of coronavirus cases there, and it obviously must have worked because it's now going around in the United States. And it tells you that this is coming from the CDC, and if you click on the attachment, open the attachment, you will have 20 tips to help protect your family from the virus. Seems innocuous enough and seems like something that a lot of people might be interested in. The problem is that attachment is loaded with malware, and if you were to click it on, the folks from Sophos tell me, you will be loading malware onto your computer, which will put ransomware on your computer. It will lock up everything on the hard drive. It will totally scramble everything, and you will not have access to any of the information on your computer unless you pay them whatever ransom they are asking for. So please be aware that no government health agency is proactively sending out mass emails to everyone about the coronavirus or any other virus. If you want to keep up to date on what's going on, you need to go to their websites, the cdc.gov, the World Health Organization, your local state or county or city health department, a legitimate news organization, WGN, CNN, NBCNews.com, whatever it is. That's how you're going to keep up to date on the coronavirus and how to protect yourself, not by some email that purports to be from some health organization. They're just not sending these things out. You need to assume it's coming from a crook.
Yeah, you know, these guys will take advantage of anything, you know, and I know that, you know, some people are a little bit more, you know, they're frightened about this, you know, coronavirus.
Yep.
And this is what they're taking advantage of. This is what these guys are taking advantage of.
And the next step, everyone predicts, and I think they're probably right, is the next step we are probably going to see them marketing bogus cures. If things spread badly enough and people are scared enough, they will start to sell. We've got the cure the government doesn't want you to know about. The government doesn't want you to have. You know, just send us your money, click here, whatever. So these things tend to go in stages. I think we've seen the first two stages, and the third stage will probably be some kind of, we got the answer to your problem here, just send us your money. And again, folks, that's not going to happen, and be aware of that, because I can guarantee you, Nick, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. And again, if you want to read the full article and with all the tips on how to avoid this and be aware of some of these scams that are happening in coordination with the coronavirus, just go to consumerman.com. The whole article is there. You can read it and with all the tips and everything. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's the Consumer Man. It's Nick DeGilio on 720 WGN. If you have a question or a concern, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here's Richard on WGN. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, I recently got a letter, unsolicited, looking just like the same kind of package you would get with a new credit card or a renewal credit card, from a company called Cooler Master out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And it says it's a Wirecard MasterCard. And it says it's because of working with our company, we've sent you a promotional gift of $10. And it has a phone number, an 800 number for you to call, and apparently give some information to activate it. And it seems odd, because I've never heard of this company. I'm very careful about who I give information to, but it's not just an unsolicited. It's got my actual name and address on it. And so I'm just wondering, I haven't checked anything, I haven't called, they've got two toll-free numbers and a website, but I haven't even done any of that. When I heard your guest was going to be on, I thought I'd call and see if he's heard of this.
I have not heard of that one. I can tell you the fact that they had your full name and address means nothing. These mailing lists are bought and sold for pennies for listings, so that doesn't mean anything whatsoever. An unsolicited card like that from a company you haven't dealt with is obviously a red flag and something very suspicious. My suggestion to you is, I wouldn't risk anything for $10, but if you want to see if there's a possible, it's legit and some kind of promotion, I would either... First thing I do is I call MasterCard and ask them, is this a legitimate card? I wouldn't call the numbers on the card. I would call MasterCard if it's a MasterCard, a prepaid card, and say, hi, I got this in the mail. Is this a legitimate card? Is there some promotion that's really going on? If that doesn't work, you could try to see if there's a real company online. I can't go online right now because I'm on Skype with Nick, but you can see if there is such a company and check them out. But my suggestion is check with MasterCard, and they might know if there's something. Either if there's a scam going on, they might know, and if not, they could let you know if it's a legitimate transaction. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and Richard, there's a red flag all over this, though. You know what I mean?
That's why I've done nothing, and I wasn't going to do anything, but when I heard about your guest, I thought I'd check. And, yeah. Nick, you do a great job every night. Thanks.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate that. All right. Yeah.
Better check.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said it's very smart to check ahead of time. That's that's the way you do it. You don't say, "Oh, here's what I just did, Herb. Did I do something stupid?"
Right, you go, right, right.
Seriously.
No, I understand. I totally understand. No, if you need advice from Herb, hold on, and we talk to him once a month and ask him about this before you take any action on it. That's the best way of doing it. So, are we losing Herbie there?
Oh, that was my Outlook that just went off. I'll shut it down during the next commercial break.
Okay. We have a question from...
I'm computer talent tonight. What can I tell you?
We have a question from Anthony. And maybe you won't be able to answer this or if you've ever had any questions about this, but is Publishers Clearing House a total scam, or can you actually win? Anthony wants to know.
No, Publishers Clearing House is absolutely legit. I've done numerous stories on Publishers Clearing House. I have talked to Publishers Clearing House. The problem is that because they're so big and powerful, that all the scammers use their names to send out email and letters and stuff saying you've won the Publishers Clearing House sweepstakes, send us some money to claim your prize. And of course, legitimate real Publishers Clearing House is a legitimate bona fide contest where A, you have to enter. So you can't win a contest you didn't enter, so you have to enter it. And B, if you win, there is no money involved. There's no, you don't pay taxes, you don't pay fees, you don't pay shipping, you don't pay handling. they give you your prize. And if you won the big prize, that the guy with the balloon shows up in the at your house with a camera and scares the daylights out of you and gives you the gigantic check.
Yeah.
But yes, it is absolutely legit. Now, the question is, sometimes you may not get the best rates from the you're not guaranteed, I don't think, the best rates when you renew your magazines from Publishers Clearing House. I also believe that you don't have to buy any magazines to play the contest, because otherwise, if you had to buy, it'd be a lottery. So I'm pretty sure you can enter without buying anything. But the problem with Publishers Clearing House is the name being used. So I actually did a story many, many years ago when I was CBS. I think it was Texas I traveled to, and this guy was making fake winner notices in his house. And we're sending him out to people all over the country. And we actually found him and confronted him. And he had the little stickers and the gold seals. But everyone had the exact same winning number on it.
Oh.
And he had, back then it was Dick Clark and Ed McMahon. He had Dick Clark and Ed McMahon's picture in the whole routine.
Yeah.
And he was asking people to send money. If you win a prize, you don't pay any money to the company that gives you the prize. You pay money to the IRS or your state government. So you pay taxes on it, not to them, but the government agency. And no legitimate contest makes you buy anything to enter. You have to enter to be a contestant and to win, and you never have to pay any money, shipping, handling, whatever. You won, you get your prize, end of story.
Right. All right, Herb. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is our consumer man. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. More consumer stories and answers to your questions and concerns at 312-981-7200 as the Nick DiGiglio Show continues.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house,
I would buy you a house.
And if I had $1 million,
Nick DiGiglio here on 720 WGN as we continue through this Friday morning. 312-981-7200. Classic comedy stand-up from The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson Show. Coming up, we usually do it at 2:30, but 2:30 is when our regular features start with Vic's Picks, so we're going to do it at 2, and we're going to hear some great stand-up from Robert Klein from 1989. Right now, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the consumer man to answer any and all of your consumer questions. We've got consumer news stories and phone calls here with Herb. Herb, we have more people on the line with some help, that need some help.
Great.
Okay, here's Donna on WGN. Donna, go ahead.
Hi, I just received a voicemail today on my cell phone that told me my Social Security card has been suspended due to fraudulent activity. And if I was concerned, I was supposed to dial a phone number to talk to an agent. I did not call. I think it's a fraud. But I figured since I've got an opportunity to talk to an expert, did I miss a golden opportunity get my Social Security card reinstated? Or is that possible in the first place? I don't know. I just got very confused.
Ron, it's good to be skeptical when you get a call out of the blue. As a matter of fact, that is the topic of my article for next week. It's one of the top impersonator scams that are going around right now. You know, con artists are liars by definition, and they try to pretend to be different people. The big one going around up till now has been the IRS scam. They pretend to be the IRS agents. That's not that it's gone away, but the number one right now is pretending to be with a Social Security office and telling you there's a problem with your card. There is no problem with your card. The Social Security office would never call you to tell you there's a problem with your card. And if there ever were a problem with your card, they would send you a letter with your account, they would send you a letter in the mail. What would have happened if you called the number? You would have gotten hooked up with a criminal who would pretend to be with the Social Security Administration. And more than likely, they would ask you to go to a store and buy some gift cards so that you could pay them an amount of money to reactivate your account or something like that. They might try to steal your personal information or get a credit card number, but they might try to get you to give them these cards. One of the victims I spoke to, and Nick, we'll probably talk about this more next time, but the story is like literally going to roll out next week. It was a tragic story, a senior citizen in Wisconsin, and he was on the phone line with these people for 6 hours. 6 hours. which shows you how much time they invest in these scams. There were four different people on the phone line. There was the FBI agent who called to tell him that his Social Security number had been found involved in a crime. There was a Social Security guy who told him that they could help save the money that's in his Social Security account. One other person who I can't remember was law enforcement. I think it was his local sheriff who was going to come to arrest him. And then somebody else, a woman. So there are three different people, three different voices who were involved with him. They got him to go to some local stores to buy Sephora gift cards and give them the numbers on the card. They stayed with him on the phone while he was driving, while he was in the store, because if they let you off the line and let you go, you could get your thinking capacity to come back again, and you could realize you're being scammed. And he gave them the numbers, and unfortunately, that's gone. That money's gone. He went to a second store, and luckily the cards didn't scan properly, and the grocery store called them up and said they didn't scan properly, they weren't activated, so it probably saved him his money. But they had this guy convinced that he was going to be extradited to Texas, where this Social Security number was supposedly involved in a drug running operation or something, and he was going to be taken down, flown to, and spend 10 days in Texas, 77-year-old guy. And I said to him, did you not realize that the U.S. government would not get paid by Sephora gift cards? And he said to me, I was just so scared. I was scared out of my mind. I would do anything this guy told me. And that's what happens when these con artists get you on the phone. And so you can't respond, you can't deal with them at all, and you've got to be skeptical like you were and check with somebody before you do anything, because this is like the biggest money being taken from people right now is by this scam. I mean, we're talking like $600 million last year or something. And realize that no government agency, not the IRS, not Social Security, not Medicare, will reach out to you by phone out of the blue or certainly by a robocall. If they need to reach you about a problem with your account, they will send you a letter, snail mail, good old U.S. mail, telling you there's a problem and contact us. And that's the number one warning sign of a fraud. So you were really smart, and I'm glad you didn't fall for these guys, because I am so upset with what they're doing to people and how much money they are stealing from people.
All right, Donna, there you go. Good. You were smart to not do anything.
Thank you for the information.
Okay, take care. Here's Beth on WGN. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, you're giving very valuable information. I appreciate that. My question is kind of simple. Is there a reason to shred envelopes that have your name and address on them?
Well, I do it, but because I'm a known personality. Oh, but quite frankly, anybody can look up your name and address anywhere. You can Google it and find it instantaneously. So it's not the name and address that's what's critical to be shredded. It's any document you have with any kind of account number on it. So anything Sure. that comes in with an account number that somebody could steal is what you have to shred. And it should be a cross-cut shredder, you know, the one that makes a little tiny confetti thing, the little dots, because I've actually seen people put the shredded stuff back together again. So that's the key to do that, is to make sure you shred those kind of things. The envelope, I'm not really that concerned about.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Beth. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Well,
my parents.
The other.
Yeah, go ahead.
Beth, while we're a male, is that, you know, we always think of scams being high-tech, you know, they're stealing something off the Internet. Many criminals are low-tech. They go for low-hanging fruit. They'll do whatever they can to get some money. And they go around and they steal mail out of mailboxes. And so I encourage everyone, when I make my speeches, get a locking mailbox. They're like $50, and they will increase your odds of not being hit. I've actually taken undercover video and watched these people walk down streets where there are cars traveling, main arterials. They're not the least bit scared about what's going on, because normally they're people who need drugs or something like that. They got to get money, so they're looking for credit cards or bank account numbers or something like that. My neighborhood, I'm in a nice neighborhood in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle. We were hit twice the last couple of years. We found whole piles of mail at the end of the cul-de-sac. They got every single mailbox in my neighborhood except mine and my neighbor's. I had a locking mailbox, and I made him get one. So that's a really critical factor, if at all possible. And mail your mail from the post office. I know it's a pain, but when you put it in the box and put the little red flag up to an identity theft that says, oh, there's something in here I might want to snag, that's exactly what that red flag means now. So you've got to mail the stuff, unfortunately, from a blue box from the post office.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to say, Herb, my parents shred everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they do. As soon as they get it, they shred everything. So,
right. So all the evidence. Oh, no, right, Nick?
Exactly. It's Herb Weisbaum. He's the consumer man. It's Nick DiGilio show here on 720 WGN. 847 says, hello, my credit card company sent me a notice through my app saying that my email may or may not be exposed or used on the dark web. What should I do?
Well, if you want to feel better about something, you can certainly call your credit card company and talk to them. The problem is that you can't do anything if it's on the dark web to get rid of it. So you should talk to your credit card company and talk to the fraud department and tell them you got this warning that it may be on the dark web, which means that somebody stole it and could be sold and used, and get yourself a new credit card account. I would try to do that as quickly as possible. Then remember, if you have auto billing to that credit card, it's a real pain when you change credit card numbers. If you have auto billing to that credit card, then you have to make sure you contact all the companies that are automatically billing you and say, hi, I've got a brand new credit card number, or you're going to be in a problem with them and possibly get into late fees and that sort of thing. But if you proactively, from a security information, from a website that's monitoring things, it says it's out there, it would be advisable to talk to the credit card company, the fraud department, about getting a new credit card.
Okay. And it is tax time, Herb, so you have put up on the website there best tax preparation software for 2020.
Yeah, this was a study that was done by NerdWallet. That's the personal finance website. And they looked at a bunch of the commercial software that's out there and did the legwork for all of us so that we could make our lives easier. Because a lot of people, you know, pay to have software to do their taxes. What they looked at were a bunch of features when they were comparing the software. They wanted to see how they did for features, tools, ease of use, support, and price. And I can give you some of the winners if you would like.
Yeah.
So best for simple returns, they said, was H&R Block Free Edition. So when it comes to tax prep software that you can use for simple returns, and I mean really simple, at a reasonable price without sacrificing user-friendliness, they say that H&R Block Free stands out from the crowd. So simple means that you have a W-2, so income from wages, maybe some limited income for interest and dividends, that kind of thing, and then you're taking the standard deduction. So that's just basically as far as this can go for free. You can do both your federal and state return on this and file for free. I should point out that if you make $69,000, your adjusted gross income, so that's less than you make in most cases, if your adjusted gross income is below $69,000, you can do your taxes for free by going to the IRS free file program. We talked about this before, but I'm reminding people of this because ProPublica, the website that does a lot of consumer reporting, just pointed out that they're hearing from people who are going to these free editions that are available from commercial tax preparers. So H&R Block has a free version, TurboTax has a free version. A lot of these companies have free versions on their website. The problem is if you just like Google free tax return and you get on one of these websites and start the process and your return is too complicated, they're going to say to you, you've got to upgrade to a higher level software and here's how much you have to pay. And a lot of people who have already invested all the time to load the information are not going to start all over again. They're just going to pay the money and get their taxes done. I mean, you could be talking about like $80 or $120, something like that. If you go to the IRS free file website, that's irs.gov/free file. There are 10 major companies who have promised the government to do your taxes for free if you have an adjusted gross income of $69,000 or less. And they're the big name companies: TurboTax, H&R Blocks, TaxAct, TaxSlayer. Some of them will do state taxes as well as federal taxes. If you go there, you know you're not going to get hit up for any money. It is going to be 100% free. The government went to a lot of trouble to get the tax companies, the software companies, to agree to this. So my suggestion, if before you buy anything, if you want to have a free version and do it for free, make less than $69,000 adjusted gross income, go to the IRS website, irs.gov/free file. Don't just Google, do my taxes for free, and wind up on some commercial site.
Okay. Herb, we're going to continue. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and we'll continue to talk about some of this other stuff, that the best tax software to use. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Herb Weisbaum continues here on 720 WGN. DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. We got all our regular Friday features coming up, starting with Vic's Picks at 2:30. And then we've got Straight Out of Context. No Knit D Show Spies this week. But then we've got You Big Dummy and Fly Jams Friday. So get your funky requests in. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Blackhawks Express from last night's game as well. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He is the Consumer Man, and you can follow him at consumerman.com. And Herb, we were talking about some of the software, best tax preparation software.
Yes, so this was a survey that was done, a review that was done by the website NerdWallet, who looked at all the commercial software. So we gave you the best free. This one is the best for those beginning to itemize. And again, it was an H&R Block product. They picked H&R Block Deluxe Edition. They said when they evaluated every company's entry-level paid software package for those who are itemizing and studied things like ease of use and features and help and support operations plus price, and things like other factors involved, that the H&R Block Deluxe was their choice for value, support, and modern features. They really like this one. You can photo import your W-2 and your 1099s. You also get H&R Block's online assist as part of this. So unlimited on-demand sessions with a tax expert, and they do that via chat, phone, or video conference, available for a slight extra charge. So this is not for freelancers or people who own small businesses or landlords. This is for other people, so just a little under that complicatedness would be for you. And by the way, when we talk about these, Nick, these paid ones, I'm not going to give you a price, because when I searched online to look for a price, the prices are all over the place, which is one tip I want to share with the listeners. If you're buying software, don't necessarily get it from the website, you know, the Intuit website or the H&R Block website or the whatever. There are stores that are running deals on these things. I mean, check Amazon, check Costco, check Best Buy, whatever, and look around. The prices vary dramatically. So that's why I'm not giving you a price, because they vary so greatly in whether you want to do a state tax or just a federal tax. So take a couple minutes and price shop around. But that's the one that they said was best for those who itemize, the beginning itemizers.
Oh, okay. And then you got complex returns as well.
Yeah, for people like, you know, that all have all kinds of things to report. this was, this time it was the TurboTax products, and this was TurboTax Premier and TurboTax Self-Employed. And TurboTax, they pointed out, is generally pricier than a lot of other software on the market. But they said that, they feel that the bells and whistles that they provide are really worth it for a lot of people, especially those who have complex tax situations, and they said it's worth the extra few bucks to get all the help. So these are for the Premier and the self-employed. Premier is for people who have more complicated situations like investments or rental income, and obviously, as it's named, the self-employed are for those who are freelance, gig economy, independent contractors, those who have some kind of a gig like that. There is a service they have, a paid service called TurboTax Live, which gives you unlimited live tax advice if you want to do it via video chat. And you can also have a CPA or an enrolled agent review your return before you file it. And if you want, they'll even sign it for you when you e-file it, so they'll put their name on it. So if you have a real complicated thing or like a lot of sources of income because you're doing a whole bunch of different gigs in this gig economy, yeah, that might be the way to go to cover yourself and let them help you in that situation.
Okay. And then you had the budget pick.
Yeah, there were two budget picks, and that was Tax Slayer and Tax Act. Tax Slayer, NerdWallet said, is one of the best deals on the market. Its interface isn't far off of those that are offered by other the big providers on the market, twice the price, and they think if you're confident in filing your taxes, this would be really good for you. And NerdWallet says the Tax Act has been working overtime to compete against the big players, and this year's suite that they put together proves that they are indeed a contender. May not be as flashy as the H&R Block and the TurboTax, but they say their prices are better, and for some, the function outweighs the form. So if you know what you're doing, and you know it's not tremendously complicated, you might want to see if you can, and if you want to save a few bucks, Tax Slayer and Tax Act are the two you might want to consider. And again, there's all the reviews and of this are on my website with a story at consumerman.com. The one thing I learned about doing this story was this thing about audit protection. Did you know, how do you do your taxes?
I have a guy.
Okay. I have a gal, you have a guy. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
So you're Chicago, you have a guy. Okay,
I got a guy.
So,
yeah.
But if you're using these software packages, they're going to try to sell you audit protection. And you know, audits do happen. I looked up the numbers. According to the IRS, they are now, because of the budget cutbacks, doing less than a percent are being audited. It's actually a 0.5% of all individual returns that are being audited. So that's still about 1 million returns, but you know, that's, your odds are pretty good. And if you're doing a basic, simple thing, that your odds are fairly low. But you can buy this service if you want to pay extra for it. In most cases, what they will do is they will help you understand the consequences of what's going on, but they will not represent you in front of the IRS. So in other words, they'll like help you a little bit, but if you have to go in front of an auditor and deal with things, you got to hire somebody on your own. The one company that does say that they will help you and includes managing an audit with in-person representation is H&R Block. That is part of their no surprise guarantee. If you have any concerns about the whole audit deal, and that's no extra charge for that, that may be a reason to push you to the H&R product over one of the other products, because you have that peace of mind knowing that if you're audited, you know, you'll have that protection, not have to pay another $20 to $30 to $60, which is what the most other companies buy cost.
Okay, here's Greg on WGN. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Great show, Nick.
Thanks.
You know, when I make a payment over the phone for whatever hospital bill or a doctor's office or something, you know, they ask me for my secret number on the back of my card. And I always tell them, well, if I give you that number, it's not a secret number anymore. So am I required to give them that three-number on the back of my card when I'm making a payment?
Only if you want to make a payment. Yeah, that's the number. That's the number on the back that is to prove that you actually have control and possession of the card. That's actually done to protect you.
Yeah.
That some fraudster got a hold of your credit card. They can't use it without having the card, which has that number on the back. So that's why you're asked for that number. That's why when you go online to pay for things, a good website will ask you for that CVV number, the 3-digit code. American Express, it's a 4-digit code, because that proves that you're actually in possession of the card. So that's a security protocol designed to protect you.
Yeah, no, that's what it's there for, Greg. So yes, giving that number is just giving them proof that you actually physically have the card. That's what it's there for. Greg, thanks for the call. Let's see.
Don't ever give it to anybody you haven't called.
Yeah.
Because then you could be a con artist. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, con artists have so much information now because of all the data breaches, and it was a record year last year, again, for data breaches. They may actually have your credit card number, and what they need to get you to do to trick you into either giving them the expiration date or that CVV number, because that might not be in the stolen information in the database they breached. It might just have the credit card number. To use it, they may need those two other pieces of information. So they'll call up and pretend to be your bank or sheriff's department or something. Your card's being fraudulently used. Here, we have the card number. Is that your number, Mr. Weissbaum? Yes, it is. Okay. We just need to know what the expiration date is and the CVV code is. No, you don't. If you have my card, you already have it. And if you don't have my card, you don't need it. The only people that need that are the people I'm doing business with. So keep in mind that you only give that out to people that you've contacted and you know who you've contacted.
Right. Okay. Really quickly, before we let you go, Greg says, why do scammers ask for gift cards?
Gift cards are for two reasons. First of all, they are basically untraceable, and they are irreversible. So there can be reversing of credit card transactions, wire transactions. If you come to your senses within, like, you know, a half an hour or whatever, in some cases they can reverse wire transactions. Checks could be canceled. But with a gift card, once you give them the code off, you scratch off the back and give them the code, they drain that off instantaneously, and the money is gone, and there's no getting it back, and there's nobody you can go to. You're basically on your own, and it's basically untraceable. It's just boom, they take it out. They can take it out of any store, any place they want in the country or in the world, in some cases. So that's why they like those, untraceable and irreversible.
There we go. All right, Herb, always a pleasure, my friend.
Gift cards.
I didn't hear you. What?
Oh, I said, and remember, you don't pay normal things with gift cards. The government will never ask you to pay in gift cards. Your utility company will never ask you to pay in gift cards. That's the sure sign of a scam.
Right. Got it. All right, Herb, everybody should check out consumerman.com and subscribe to your newsletter, and we'll talk to you next month, Herb.
Thanks, Nick. Stay well.
Okay, buddy, take care. Herb Weissbaum, everybody, the Consumer Man. Always helpful, always knowledgeable, great guy. All right, the news is coming up.